WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A suspect's been taken into custody at a barbershop in the deaths of a husband and wife at a state park in the South.
Arkansas State Police Special Agents have arrested James Andrew McGann, 28, of Springdale. He's been charged with 2 counts of capital murder.
Colonel Mike Hager, the couple's 2 young daughters, escaped. South Korea is the latest country to reach a tariff deal with the Trump administration a day before the president's new levies kick in.
Critics said that our tariffs would hurt the economy, but the data shows the exact opposite.
A second day of testimonies ahead in the crash of an Army helicopter and an American Airlines passenger plane in January that killed 67 people. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy testified on Capitol Hill yesterday.
It's always easy for people to focus on there was a pilot error here. We don't know. We're going to look. But it's possible there was zero pilot error here.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The feds haven't changed their minds about Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan. UrbanMilwaukee.com reports there was a filing from federal prosecutors this week arguing against her claim that she's immune from prosecution. It's the case accusing her of obstructing an ICE arrest. Prosecutors say her legal team's arguments stretch judicial immunity too far and ignore that judges can be charged with crimes even if they step outside their judicial role. A magistrate judge earlier this month recommended that the case move forward. U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman will make the final call on whether the case goes to trial. A date on when a decision might come isn't known. Larry Sabato has chimed in on the governor's race. The University of Virginia's Center for Politics crystal ball now rates the Wisconsin governor's race as a toss-up after Governor Tony Evers announced he's not running again. The open seat contest adds uncertainty, though Democrats have reason to be hopeful, like a recent big win in a state Supreme Court race. Democrat Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has officially jumped in, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's gearing up to join the race. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien have already declared their campaigns. Organizations that help people in Milwaukee are set to receive more than $5 million in donations. It's coming from the RNC. A statement from the organizing committee of the Republican National Convention says the donated funds are leftover convention money and is now going to help kids, veterans, and people in need of shelter. Over 80 local groups are getting a share. Organizers say they wanted to leave a positive legacy after hosting the big event. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers holding practice in pads on Saturday. They're expecting a sellout for family night at Lambeau Field. Second-year running back Marshawn Lloyd is out with a groin injury. Baseball, the Brewers traveling to D.C. today. They'll face the Washington Nationals tomorrow night. The Crew losing to the Cubs 10-3 yesterday. They won the series 2-1, but fell short of a sweep. Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
I'm happy because we won the series, but, you know, my goal for today was just trying to give my best to sweep them, but you know.
Peralta giving up 5 earned runs in just 4 innings, his worst start of the season. His first pitch of the game, a home run.
Freddie always gives you a chance. He did some good things. You know, he'd like to have that one pitch back. I don't mind that the kid hit the first pitch out of the park, but we got deeper into it, you know, walking people. That's not part of his gig. That's not the best Freddie when he walks people.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show. Weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star Show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
On this Thursday morning, July 31st, 2025, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here. Back up north, we've got Parker Olson producing the show down in Madison Studio A2, and we've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot here as well. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hostile. I'm grumpy because my coffee mug, which today's one is the mug that says I am silently correcting your grammar, is empty. Ooh. I normally fill it up during the 7 o'clock news, and we just got to chatting throughout the entire news break about things like the beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Bottom line, don't care. don't know enough about it and don't care. But then that got me to say, by the way, in my defense, this is not a rap thing. There's that other big beef, Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. Don't care. Don't know. Don't know what brought it up.
Me neither.
Celebrities having beefs doesn't move me. Other people, it moves them a lot. You know, I've got Tony up in Ashland was saying that he was all in on the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef. So many songs, so quick and all very high quality, and noted that he is on Team Kendrick. When I mentioned Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni, he texted in, that one I don't care about. And for the end of Lasagna Awareness Month, Robin Tigerton, he did, in fact, have lasagna. He had it for dinner, what was it, on Tuesday, I think? Yeah, there it is, Tuesday after work. But Alicia says, I didn't have any lasagna all month as part of Lasagna Awareness Month. Although she said, in my defense, lasagna gives me heartburn. So it's okay. It's
okay,
all right.
Okay.
John says hello from Colorado on Facebook. Hi, nice to have you along here. And let's get to what Brittany's here for. Tony Nashlin saying the weather here is unsafe.
Yeah.
Not cloudy.
Yeah.
Not cloudy, just unsafe. The Canadian wildfire smoke is back, and it is back with a vengeance up here. I don't know how much across the state it spreads, but it is just a very gray morning here, and it just, I mean, even if you're young and healthy, it's just the environment is just not, it's suboptimal. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I am getting headaches. You know, the second you step outside, you can kind of feel it in your chest sometimes too at certain points.
Yeah.
All of these different things, burning eyes, watery eyes. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, statewide, we're all in the red. In fact, there are some very unhealthy levels right now into Door County, up into parts of northeastern areas of the Northwoods. But this thing is widespread statewide throughout Minnesota, the UP, the state of Michigan, all of Michigan on the other side of the lake. So it is just engulfing us right now, and it's pretty brutal. It does start to lift north as we go through this afternoon and evening. Now, I don't know exactly how fast that's going to happen. The alert and advisory expires at noon. I'd say it might linger here a little bit, but again, today it is still stuck here. Should be gone by tomorrow. We are looking at right now still fog, too, in some places north into Eagle River and Merrill. About low 40s far north right now to mid 60s down south in the state. And we've got some breezy winds. That's going to help kick and mix out this wildfire smoke as we go through the afternoon. They will be gusting around 15 to 30 miles per hour, prompting a beach hazard statement out on Lake Michigan. So those waves are going to be climbing up to 4 to 6 feet. She's going to be angry out there. She already is, actually. Dangerous currents. So stay away from those beaches. I wouldn't get in there if I were you. Plus, the temperatures are nice and refreshing. No need to really do that. Low to mid 70s today, statewide, all of us. If the wildfire smoke clears, more and more sunshine. Otherwise, it's going to be hazy out there. And of course, we are looking at comfortable conditions, dry conditions, as we close out the rest of this week. So this high pressure system is doing some good, but it's also the reason why this wildfire smoke is here.
Yeah, without a doubt. More from Robin Tigerton. Good morning. It's partly cloudy and 53. I mowed 3 yards in Tigerton yesterday, and I've got 3 yards in rural areas of Tigerton today. The sky reminded me of the skyline of Los Angeles, hazy, and you could smell the smoke. That it does. It has a very smog-like look to it, which, again, is smoke and fog, but, you know, the kind of smog in L.A. was also, like, air pollution-related, and this is definitely much more just about the, you know, the smoke instead. Let's see, and Rob did remind us that he had lasagna the other day. Oh, here, he says, the corn is tasseling nicely in the Tigerton area. So the warm and humid weather we had in most of July has done wonders for the corn crop. That is very true.
That's good.
And that's
good
what we like to hear.
Yeah, and there's also he said you can smell the smoke, especially those of us who have to work outside. Wisconsin has dangerous health levels from the wildfire smoke. And Alicia saying, this makes me feel so bad for the folks up in Canada. It's got to be so bad for them right now, because not just the smoke, but the flames, the fire that is destroying houses and ruining lives up there. It's just very unfortunate. And
very scary stuff.
We can only hope that it doesn't last too much longer, that they get the precipitation that they need. Brittany, we'll get an updated forecast from you in an hour. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And if you include our Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, it'll include a summary of the week in Wisconsin politics and a question of the week. This week, it's about cryptocurrency. Is it the future? Is it a scam? Is it a fad? Is it too soon to tell? And tomorrow on this fine program, you can get tickets to a future Brewers game. It'll be Free Ticket Friday. And we will give you a keyword tomorrow that you will text us using the Civic Media app. You're going to use the Civic Media app to text it because you're tech savvy that way. And on your phone, not only can you text us stuff through the Civic Media app, but you can get baseball tickets. And then you can use those tickets on your phone to get into American Family Field. If all of that describes you, then be part of Free Ticket Friday tomorrow. Get that keyword, text it in, win the tickets. It's a statewide drawing. And I'm telling you a day in advance so you can plan for this. The tickets we're giving away tomorrow, Friday, are for the next Friday when the Brewers are at home against the New York Mets. That's a Friday evening game of next week. So if you are interested in potentially winning those tickets, as was done recently by Jim in Brookfield, enter tomorrow. I don't know what else to tell you here. We were talking during the break about, Jim in Brookfield won this week's tickets. Well, last Friday's tickets. And we just wanted to know. I mean, we know he listens throughout the day, and we just want to know, did he win it from listening to our show? Was it the keyword from someplace else? And Jim texts in, I did send in 4 different keywords, one for Pat, one for Jane and Greg, one for Todd's show, one for Maggie's show. And we're very appreciative of that.
We are.
But he also wrote in, he brought his family. It was the Cubs, and there was a leadoff home run. And he said the leadoff home run by the Cubs was an eye-opener for my wife, who couldn't figure out why more than half the crowd was cheering loudly. She hadn't been to what some Chicagoans call Wrigley North, but despite the loss, we had a good time. And that's the bottom line. That's what we want to see.
That's true. It is. It's hard to look at the bright side of things sometimes, Pat. I'm glad you can for me.
I can see the bright side of things, through the smoke.
Through this, basically, you got to squint a little, but it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to the leader of a national media group that is putting up billboards in Wisconsin and other parts of the country, doing something that you probably, I don't want to say take for granted, but you already know this detail about the big Trump mega bill, the one that, you know, Derek Van Orden and all the other Republicans in Wisconsin voted for. That, yeah, it makes these massive cuts to programs. Some say, well, those are massive cuts in spending. That's what we got to do, is we got to cut our spending. It does not cut spending. It does not cut spending. It takes those cuts that would come to you and to your neighbors and to your family and gives them to millionaires and billionaires in the form of tax cuts. It's that simple, but a lot of folks still don't know that yet. And so that's what led to the billboard campaign, and we will talk to somebody who is leading the group and leading the effort to do that coming up a little later this hour. A reminder that coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is a candidate for governor, and she will be stopping by in our 8 o'clock hour tomorrow to talk to us more about her decision to run for governor, what it's been like serving with Governor Evers these past 4 years, her career as a nurse, and more of what drives her, what drove her to go into public service. She was not planning to be a state legislator and then lieutenant governor and then a candidate for governor. But she has a good story about what prompted her to make this career turn, and you'll hear all about it tomorrow morning in our 8 o'clock hour. By the way, the billboards that we're talking about in our next half hour, they're not the only communication out there with voters about the votes taken by Van Orden and others. This from Wispolitics, the League of Conservation Voters and House Majority PAC, that's a Democratic group, are targeting Congressman Van Orden as part of a new $700,000 digital buy that's been knocking Republicans over their support for the mega bill. The group says it will run on digital platforms in 10 other districts besides Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District during the August recess. They didn't break down how much they plan to spend per district, so we don't know how much of that is being spent on ads targeting Van Orden. When we say digital platforms, it means, you know, right before you watch a video on YouTube or on Facebook or even your games. I still play Words with Friends. Sherry and I send words back and forth. And sometimes you get a little commercial between the games. And usually it's for one of those goofy other games like Royal Match or something like that. But sometimes they're actual commercials. And more political groups are putting ads on every one of these digital platforms to target people who otherwise would not be news consumers. And so that's what you're seeing here. And in this particular campaign, the spot targeting Van Orden says that the plan takes Medicaid away from millions of Americans and removes clean energy from the electric grid just to provide a tax cut for the wealthy. The narrator says everything costs too much already, and Congressman Van Orden just voted to make it even worse. Now, Van Orden, to his credit, is not yet saying, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to be taking away all these jobs. I didn't mean to be taking away all these people's health care. He is instead sticking to his guns of saying that there are no Medicaid cuts in here that go to citizens and people who've earned them. And it's an amazing level of either delusion or cynicism that prompts that. And there's going to be a lot to be said to voters over these next, you know, however many months, 15 months or so, about what the actual case is with this mega bill. Also from Wispolitics, the Dane County Republican Party says it has filed a complaint with the Office of Congressional Ethics against Congressman Mark Pocan over business that his print shop has received from campaigns, including his own. But here's the thing, because Derek Van Orden brought this up last week, talking to Pocan, accusing him of, you know, funneling money from his campaign to buy signs from his company. But here's the thing. In the Wispolitics report, it notes the claims being made by the Dane County Republican Party in the announcement are contradicted by publicly available records from the Federal Election Commission. In other words, a lot of folks are just going to hear the first line of the news story. The Dane County Republican Party says it has filed a complaint with the Office of Congressional Ethics against Congressman Mark Pocan over business his print shop has received from campaigns. And some people are going to think, ooh, that sounds shady. So hopefully most media outlets, as they're sharing this, will also make clear that the claims are made up and that they are contradicted by Federal Election Commission records that you can go get and you can go look at right now. Anybody can file a complaint, hopefully responsible newsrooms are putting that complaint in perspective, because it's fiction. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll be talking more about that billboard campaign about tax cuts for billionaires coming up at 7:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast available anytime you want it.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about the floods in Texas. Who's to blame, and what can we learn about it here in Wisconsin? We're also going to honor the baseball's rising stars, especially at the local level, and then, of course, the politics of softball. Join us. It's going to be a great show.
This Week in Waukesha, a podcast always available online at waukradio.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. Good morning, it's Greg Bach. Happy Thursday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. It's been a few months since the spring election took place here in Wisconsin, which means it's been a few months since new aldermen have taken office, getting them assigned to various commissions or committees, knowing the right people in City Hall to talk to for their constituents, as well as getting to know their constituents. And most importantly, finding out which vending machine has the best snacks. It's usually in the basement. And one of those new aldermen is Malik Frazier, who's representing the 1st District of Racine. He sat down with Don Rosen to talk about his first few months in office and give us his personal story.
Malik Frazier joining me, an alderman in the 1st District here in Racine. Well, good to have you on board.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, first time in here.
Yes, sir.
So I got a whole bunch of things to talk to you about because okay. We don't really know much about you. You're brand new.
Yep.
You just got the job back in April, I guess.
April 1st, technically.
So the 1st District, for people that don't know, is where?
It's downtown Racine. The northern boundary is Main and Hamilton. The southern boundary is Main and 11th.
Do you live in that district?
I do live in that district.
Okay. Do you have to if you're an alderman? You have to live there?
You have to live there.
Okay, I didn't know that. All right, I never planned to ever get into politics. And I got to ask you, why did you do it? You're a young guy. You're bright. There's no upside to it.
Yeah.
Unless people say, well, I want to help people make a difference. And that's good. That's very honorable to do that. But it's tough.
It is tough. I always had a love of history growing up. And my mother always bought me history books that dealt with wars and presidents and local issues like civil rights and the Depression and stuff like that, and just watching how people rallied to meet their moment, which is sort of my key phrase. Meet their moment back then kind of gave me the motivation to do this.
Okay. Let's do a little background on you.
Okay.
You're from Wisconsin. You're a local yokel. Where about? Give us...
So I grew up, I was born in Milwaukee, lived in Kenosha, and then I moved to Racine when I was 12 years old.
Okay. That's pretty good. So you never... But you are in the Army... Reserves.
Army Reserves, yes.
And so you do travel.
I travel a lot.
Now, when I spoke to you recently about coming on here, I heard people with a Southern accent in the background. So you were...
Yeah. I was at Fort Benning, Georgia. Yeah. I attended Officer Candidate School.
It's right by Alabama, right? Yeah,
right on the border. Yeah. It was very hot. And I did that for 3 months and successfully completed the course. And now I'm a second lieutenant.
Wow, you are a bright guy. Now, you have a master's degree. Why don't you tell them about your education?
So I have a bachelor's degree. Well, first, I graduated high school from Racine Lutheran. And then I went to Carthage College and got my bachelor's of science in political science. And then I got mobilized with the Army during COVID and completed my master's in public policy from Liberty University.
That's a lot of accomplishments for a young guy.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go from here?
Right now, I work full-time for the Racine County Sheriff's Office. I enjoy what I do. So just staying within the realm of law enforcement for right now and then seeing what the future holds.
What do you do in the Sheriff's Department?
So I'm a patrol deputy, but my assignment right now is the school resource officer for Union Grove High School. So during the school year, I'm in the school, hanging out with kids, talking to teachers, talking to students. Going over public safety plans in case the school ever has a catastrophe, God willing. We never have to experience that, but I'm just there to maintain and leverage relationships with all of the stakeholders.
My guest is First District Alder Malik Frazier. When I went to school, high school, we didn't have police in the school. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember having any trouble in the school. And we had 4,000 students in my high school. Just in my graduating class, 970.
Yeah.
But we had four grades, and they were all about 1,000 each.
Yeah.
And so we just didn't have any trouble with all those people in the school.
Yeah.
Now you got to have police officers in the school. What changed?
I mean, there's a lot that changed. I think people's mindsets and attitudes changed. In today's time, one of the topics that have come to the forefront is mental health, and understanding that mental health is a real stigma that needs to be addressed. And then, you know, just some people just like doing violent things for no reason. No
cause. Did that change? Because, again, in my high school, I don't remember anything happening like that. I don't think we ever had the police called in the 4 years I was there. And I lived in the New York area. Yeah. So you figure somebody would be causing problems, but nobody did.
Yeah.
I just don't know what changed.
I'm not really sure what changed, but one thing that I can tell you is having me in that school or just law enforcement in any school is good for our current climate with law enforcement, simply because we can unearth some of the mysteries of law enforcement. And if I can create a good relationship with a 13, 14-year-old to where they're comfortable around law enforcement, hopefully what they see in the news or on social media can not influence their behavior or their attitudes towards law enforcement. When we talk about kids, you know, my mother has been in social work for over 35 years, and we've had trainings about the adolescent mind and how it's not developed. And if we aren't careful with how we handle these young people, it can trigger thoughts and emotions and actions that are not in keeping with who they truly are.
If you'd like to listen to the rest of that interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show, and you can download it right to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. If you're interested in finding out who your elected officials are, go to myvote.wi.gov. It'll give you phone numbers, addresses, and you can contact them whenever you'd like. Remember, it's important to make your voice heard. If you can't listen to us on the radio, you can listen to us anytime you want by downloading the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. See what I did there? Pun in the morning. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store and find it there by searching Civic Media. And that way you can listen to any station in the Civic Media network anytime you'd like. It's also absolutely customizable too, which makes it a great feature for your listening to us on the go. So that's my mission to you. Download the Civic Media app today. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Wisconsin State Fair kicks off today, and there are a few things you need to know before you go. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're visiting with Tess Kirkson. She's the communications director with the Wisconsin State Fair. She reminds us when and how we can watch the livestock shows that often start before the rest of the fair opens to the public.
Yes, you definitely need to check out, of course, the new dairy building. We've been talking a lot about it, but take a look at the schedule for the day, especially if you're coming to see a certain exhibitor, and make sure you know the show time. Make sure you know that that gate opens at 6 a.m. and which gates open later at around 8 or 9 a.m. because the fair park really doesn't get rolling until about 10 a.m. So you're going to find a lot of vendors that are much closer to the ag buildings and the ag barns, like Big Sky Country, that they serve breakfast. The Wisconsin Product Pavilion opens early to serve breakfast. So those locations are always so key when it comes to those early ag shows.
Visit our podcast page for more details on admission and parking with Tess Kirkson, communications lead at the Wisconsin State Fair. The fair is going on today through August 10th in West Allis. We'll see you there.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Well, the team here at the station agrees. Food is a primary highlight at the fair, especially at the Wisconsin State Fair, where you can find incredibly unique foods. Are they all delicious? Well, that's for you to find out. We did get a look at the best of both worlds during the Sporky's competition. The Sporky's encourages State Fair vendors to create next-level foods for all ages. And, drumroll please, here are your winners. In third place, Mexican Street Corn Pizza from Charlie's Pizza. At number two, Brat Rangoon from Worst Bar. And the number one fair food you've got to try, the Butter Banana French Toast Lumpia from Lumpia City. Find these foods wherever you see a 13-foot Golden Sporks statue. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SavedByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Unfortunately, most all of us know someone who's been touched by cancer. On our next show, we'll be at WRCE in Richland Center to talk Walk with Grace, a great benefit for those who are suffering.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
There's no shortage of ways to describe the ways in which the Trump mega bill is predominantly geared toward corporations and the very wealthy. There is a massive cut to the corporate income tax rate that is made permanent. There have been multiple analyses on the bill that show that, for example, the people in the bottom 20% of earners will see a 0.5% increase in their after-tax income compared to about 5 times that amount for people in the top 20%. But not everybody knows that. And so that's what led to a discussion that I held yesterday with a gentleman who runs a group that's putting up billboards all around the country, including here in Wisconsin. Let's visit now with Faz Shakir. He's the founder and executive director of the media organization, More Perfect Union. Faz, thank you for being here, by the way. Let's start with a description of what More Perfect Union is.
Well, Pat, we launched this thing in 2021. And we're a media organization of, by, and for working class people to tell the stories of economic justice through their lens. You know, when I launched in 2021, I had just come off of managing Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. And I felt that there was a challenge of trying to tell the stories of real working class lives in this environment in which we feel like the perspectives of the wealthy is really captured in a lot of traditional media outlets. Whether if you're watching CNBC or reading the Wall Street Journal, they're really often telling you the perspective of the C-suite, the executives, the big shareholders. And you know, my frustration has long been, but what about like if you're an Amazon worker who's organizing? What if you're a national park ranger who's having to go about your job and the struggles of what you're trying to deal with in this modern economy? So the goal of the organization is just tell the stories of working class people and try to tie those to solutions.
Well, we were just noting on our show yesterday, on Wednesday, that is the 60th anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid, and the number of Amazon workers and McDonald's workers and Walmart workers who are also on Medicaid is astonishing. And I don't think people are necessarily aware of it. Similarly, the billboards you're putting up tell a story for something that I think some of us take for granted, but many people still don't know about the budget cuts in the Trump mega bill. And how they're not necessarily savings. This is essentially a transfer of wealth. Is that pretty much the story behind the billboards?
They are takings, right, Pat? So that's right. And so the billboards that you're referring to say, we make, they take. And the takings that we're referring to here are Medicaid, people on Medicaid who are working. I mean, the great mythology as you're referencing is that somehow people on Medicaid, Medicare are not working, or haven't earned these benefits. The real truth of them is if you work 20 hours at Dollar General, right? Who's stopping you from working 40, 45 hours at Dollar General? It's often Dollar General. The bosses are. A lot of workers are trying to get to a place where they're earning more and having more benefits. If you're driving Uber 30 hours a week, Uber isn't giving you health care. They aren't giving you retirement benefits. So a lot of these major corporations are saddling the federal government with the responsibility of providing health care, providing any degree of retirement to working class people, and they're making billions of dollars. So in our view, here you got a bill that says, well, we're going to give tax breaks to the richest in this country because they are the great creators of our economy. They need more money. And what they have been doing with this money is literally taking away health care and retirement. That is what Amazon kind of created, right? As the modern economy is, we can have thousands of workers and none of them will have healthcare. None of them will have decent retirement benefits. So they are literally taking now at this stage the actual little healthcare that many of these workers had.
Well, it's like I was saying for the Medicaid anniversary, there's 71 million Americans on it. And a lot of Republicans say, well, that, see how big that number is? So many people that say they their income is low enough to qualify for Medicaid, which to me begs the question, then why don't we do something if so many Americans make so little that they qualify for Medicaid? This is as much a wage problem as it is a healthcare issue.
And an easy solution that's frustrated me for a long time is you want to compel McDonald's, which has tons of franchisees. Again, it's a problem with having a major corporation that is largely executed through franchises. You have Uber, you have Amazon, you have Dollar General, a lot of these, Walmart, a lot of these companies that are billions of dollars in profits. And why not compel them? You have to provide healthcare to your employees. You have to provide a retirement benefit to your point. You remember, Pat, we're just a few decades ago where that was the assumption. If you were going to go work at a major corporation, you were going to get a decent benefit that raised the standards of everyone. And now, of course, you got union busting all over the place. You got companies trying to exploit workers in every which way possible. And now they are refusing to provide even the basic minimum of what you need to live. And now you're right that there's been a transfer, right? So the federal government's owning more and more of this responsibility. And now the Republicans say, well, oh, it's just growing so much. We have to take it away. Well, you could compel the corporations of America, provide healthcare to your employees. This would solve a major problem.
The billboard campaign was announced to be launched across 9 states, including boards in Milwaukee. Is that still the case, or has the campaign changed at all since the initial rollout?
No, you got it right, Pat. We're going to try to be as many places as we can trying to tell a story that's more than just the anti-Trump perspective. I think a lot of people got that, right? That Trump has a certain vision and ideology, and he's executed now this twice, right? First tax bill, now second tax bill, in his first term, now second term. So I think people got that sense. But what we're trying to do is also make sure that there's a narrative and a story of who is benefiting. And it's not just Donald Trump, right? It's the beneficiaries are these wealthy people that you see. And we mentioned, Musk is one of them. Bezos is another. Zuckerberg. These are the people who've really thrown in with Trump and are now getting the return of their business model thriving under Donald Trump.
And yeah, those billboards, they do have the different billionaire CEOs. You mentioned Musk and Zuckerberg and Bezos. Peter Thiel from PayPal is on there as well. Have they essentially made themselves the public face of this transfer of wealth? I mean, do you feel, I think Elon Musk is a pretty easy one. Because of his role with the Trump administration. But between the four of them on there, do you feel like that creates the best narrative for the middle class who drive by these billboards to understand the way wealth is moving toward those four individuals, among others?
Well, at least three of them, you'll remember, Elon and Bezos and Zuckerberg were sitting right behind Donald Trump as he was inaugurated. They volunteered that we, the billionaire class, are throwing in with this guy and are so proud of it that we're going to sit right here and feel like we have a degree of ownership over the direction of this country. And to my mind, it's trying to pull this a little bit out of the partisan politics. I would hope that more people see and understand the major problem we have is, Bezos would love to buy the Democratic Party too, right? It isn't just like he's got the opportunity with the Republican Party because they got the trifecta. They own the presidency, the Republican Senate, and the Republican House. So that's where he's going to be spending his money, his effort, his energies to try to extract gains for himself. But if the tides were to turn, he would also love, and has in the past, given money to try to purchase, a direction of a Democratic side or any other side. And it's the job of people who want to serve in public office to operate with integrity and fight for people beyond themselves. That is really, to my mind, the meaning of being in public life, that you are willing to use power and authority to fight for other people besides yourself. And we are in a state, sadly, Pat, where there's a lack of integrity. The corruption of a system, both politically and economically, is at heightened levels. And I think we're all hunting and searching for the people who want to be willing to take on powerful actors, know that it's going to be painful, but do it with integrity on behalf of actual working class folks.
We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's the founder and executive director of the media organization More Perfect Union, which has launched a billboard campaign in Wisconsin and other states about the Trump mega bill and the tax cuts for billionaires. This is not your first billboard campaign, if I'm not mistaken, that you've also called out the Doge cuts earlier. And do you already have something in mind for where you're going from here to keep these issues top of mind for Americans as they see these billboards?
Yeah, well, in my view, you know, a lot of these billboards have been put up in places that are, you know, we'll call red or, you know, purple, at least, you know, places where they are not core Democratic voters. They're trying to speak to people who may have voted a different way. And the first billboards that you mentioned were about the cuts to national park rangers and national park staff and really unnecessary, heinous efforts to attack people who, in my mind, serve as the best ethos of America. And I was talking about integrity with you before, Pat, right? Here's National Park Service staff whose job, they don't make tons of money off these jobs. They do these to improve your standard of living as you come into a national park. National parks are available to all people, regardless of income. Great thing that we want to maintain. And yet Doge said, oh, this is a place we want to go after. And I thought when we did the first billboard campaign, there were a lot of Republicans concerned to say, hey, you know, I like Donald Trump. I like some of the things he's doing. This is a step way too far for me. And I'm trying to own that persuasion mindset in this moment. I can appreciate and respect that people will vote for Trump, vote for Republicans for a whole host of reasons. But I want to explain it. On the issues of class and who fights for working people. It is, in my view, the issue of our time. And it is the issue that is often least covered through traditional media, thanks to you and others who are trying to do it through alternative forms of media. And it requires like having a, you know, trying to get messages through to folks who, because they aren't ordinarily going to see it. They aren't ordinarily going to hear about, oh, you know, Doge cuts on national park staff, or they're not going to hear about, oh, Jeff Bezos is making out like a robber baron with his tax bill. I want to make sure, you know, as we get through the course of the next, you know, few years, that class-based conversations are had.
And it's beyond the billboards as well. I note that on your YouTube channel, it notes that you're an Emmy-winning nonprofit newsroom. You can go to More Perfect Union on YouTube and see all the other multimedia ways that you're trying to get this message out.
That is the principal way we try to get this message out. I have a staff of 35 people, and we do journalism every day. We're all over the country trying to tell stories of, you know, data centers right now. For instance, they're taking over a lot of communities and towns, pilfering the water, pilfering electricity, raising energy costs on working class people. Also, all just so Elon Musk can create Grok, or, you know, that we can have some kind of AI chatbot. You know, like really to screw with workers that in that way, we really have a fundamental problem of too few actors have way too much power. And you see this particularly in big tech. With the onset of AI, and our job at More Perfect Union is just to make sure we are telling the stories from those who are getting screwed right now, and to suggest there could be a different way, a better way.
Apart from the YouTube channel, is there anything else that you would like to motivate people to do if they see the billboards, if they see the videos?
Well, I'd love for them to sign up on our email list. I mean, if you go to perfectunion.us, you'll see our website there, and you can sign up for our email list there. And then also all our other channels. We're on TikTok, Instagram, all the major platforms. And thankfully we're doing quite well with views and, you know, growing very well at this point in time. But I would love even more support, please.
Fashakur, founder and executive director of More Perfect Union. Thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
You're kind to have me. Thank you, Pat.
A couple of more notes on, again, the impact of this bill on taxes, because we've talked so much about in generalities. But here are the numbers as the bill has been studied. From the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, nearly 60% of the tax cut benefits go to the top 20% of incomes. So 60% of the benefits going to people earning $217,000 and above. You know, millionaires and billionaires. And then Penn Wharton looked at a budget model with an impact on lifetime income. Once you figure in the effect of cuts to Medicaid and food assistance, households in the bottom 20% will experience a lifetime value of loss of $27,500. By contrast, in the top 20%, they will gain value of $65,000. And then what about the folks right in the middle? Well, you'll get a slight, maybe $500 benefit lifetime from the tax cuts. But if you need any of those programs that are being cut, you are going to be out of luck. A local update is next for some of you. Others, some more news and notes from here on Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy with delicious fair food. Feel grand with Wisconsin's top exhibitors, from quilting to horse shows. Feel amped with live music at the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater and Main Stage. And if you're feeling gutsy, Spin City is calling your name. It's time to feel good. July 31st to August 10th, only at Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. In case you didn't know, our very own Earl Ingram has his brand new show, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. It's available as a podcast. You can find it on civicmedia.us/shows or find it at your podcast distribution center of choice. On this long-form discussion program, he will have conversations with those in Milwaukee who have made it their life's mission to serve, whether we're talking about the halls of politics, community outreach, or faith-based organizations, or all three. But he's going to have great discussions with people, and it's here for you on Civic Media. And I'm going to share with you a clip from his most recent conversation with Charles Robinson, whose resume and life's history, frankly, is so long that it would take me an entire podcast episode to list off his accomplishments. So I'm just going to ask you to trust me to know that this man is fantastic. And I'm going to play for you a small selection from their conversation. This is Earl Ingram speaking with Charles Robinson.
Let's talk a little bit about who Charles L. Robinson is, your background, where you came from, and then we can get into all the nuts and bolts of all the other things.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been in Milwaukee for most of my life. I joined my mother when I was about 3 and a half, going on 4 years old. She came up with the Great Migration of Black people who fled the South and Jim Crow. to find a better life for themselves. And she left me when I was 2 years old with my grandparents. They were great caregivers, surrogate parents. And so I still consider myself a country boy, you know, growing up in Northeast Louisiana, East Carroll Parish.
But your journey in the city of Milwaukee, let's talk a little bit about that, because it shaped who you are. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, when before I left the South, you know, the farm with my grandparents, my grandmother, she was like God. You know, she made her own medicine. You know, she was like a witch doctor and a shaman, but very, very spiritual. And she told me when I was 3 and a half, she said, "The Lord has work for you." And all of my life, I was wondering, what does she mean by that? And so for most of my life, you know, I'm wondering, is this it? You know, at first I thought they wanted me to preach. You know, I didn't want to be a minister. I didn't want to preach. But I found a ministry in conflict resolution, in peacemaking. And so that's what I'm doing now. Actually, I'm trying to create a network.
So you're jumping so far ahead. I want to talk about your childhood.
Yeah.
In the city of Milwaukee, and because people who are listening now have no concept of how beautiful our childhood was in the city of Milwaukee in the 50s and the 60s.
Well, you know, mine didn't start out beautiful because my mother was very young. You know, when she moved here, she was like 19 or 20 years old. She was very young. She was a teenage mom. I remember having to help her fight her jealous boyfriends and stuff. And then she married my stepfather, who he had a drinking problem. And, you know, he was kind of like manic depressant.
Right.
And I faced a life and death situation with him about 5 times. Up until I moved, you know, I went to college.
But did you have siblings?
I was the oldest of 9.
Wow.
And the next one is 8 years younger. My sister Yvonne. And I think I was about, on my 21st birthday, she gave me a birthday card that said, "To my fatherly, friendly brother."
So 9.
Yeah, I was older than 9.
What a small family. I'm from a family of 13.
Oh, well, so, I knew your brother. I knew Lester.
So you here you are, and the oldest, right?
Yeah.
So a burden and a responsibility as the oldest child.
I was the third parent.
Yes.
A lot of babysitting, changing diapers, feeding babies, you know.
So that responsibility that the oldest child has in helping to, you know, make sure that his siblings are safe and all those kinds of things. You're the oldest person, and you said 8 years in between. So you really had to take on a monstrous responsibility as a young boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And my sister, who's 8 years younger, plays every brass instrument in the orchestra, right? And she was a music teacher for MPS before she retired. They're living in Arizona right now. But she went so far in music because I was denied because right. I went to summer school. And the band director at Robert Fulton said I couldn't be in the band because I was a 7A. You may remember.
Yeah, 7A, 7B.
Yeah, the mid-semester graduate. And he said, if I hadn't gone to summer school, I would have been in the band. But we couldn't afford an instrument.
So if we don't look solely at your own personal life, but we look at the city that you grew up in, being Milwaukee at that point in time, how did you find Milwaukee?
Milwaukee was under socialism. You know, the mayor was a socialist.
Frank Zeidler.
Exactly. And his brother before him was socialist. Right. And we had social centers. Every playground had playground coaches. And in fact, that's how I learned how to play chess and a lot of things off the playground. because we lived right across the street from the playground.
I'm not kidding you when I tell you that what I played for you just now is the tip of the iceberg on Mr. Robinson's story. And if you want to hear more, go to Earl Ingram's new show, What's Going On. It's going to become your favorite podcast, seriously. Go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for What's Going On, and you can download episodes directly to your device. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'm going to talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Police has arrested a 28-year-old in the killings of an Arkansas couple in Devil's Den State Park. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Clinton and Kristen Brink were hiking with their two daughters, ages 7 and 9, about 170 miles northwest of Little Rock when they were fatally attacked. The sisters escaped to the visitor center unharmed.
South Korea, the latest country to reach a deal with the Trump administration before the president's higher tariffs kick in tomorrow. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Now it seems that we're settling at a 15% tariff rate with some, I would say, hazy details on how those countries will be investing in the United States, different for each country.
An 8-year-old and his mother among at least 7 people killed in a Russian drone and missile attack on Kyiv. The BBC's Jonathan Beale is in the Ukrainian capital.
More than 300 drones were fired, 8 missiles, most of those shot down by Ukraine's air defenses.